This is the Black Christian News Network One podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about today. According to the Daily Mail, an undersea volcano that erupted in Tonga, triggering a 7.4 magnitude earthquake, was so large it was visible from space and sent tsunami waves crashing into the coast of the Pacific island and left it covered in ash and cut off from aid. In the U.S., waves of up to 14.1 feet were recorded in Port St. Louis on Saturday, and tsunami effect waves were recorded along the coast in California, Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, and Alaska. Satellite images showed the spectacular eruption from space, and despite the dire warnings, spectators flocked to the beaches to view the surging tsunami waves, while surfers threw caution to the wind to catch the powerful waves generated by the surge. Tsunami hit Tonga remained largely uncontactable on Sunday, with telephone and internet links severed, leaving relatives in faraway New Zealand praying for their families on the Pacific Islands as casualty reports had yet to come through. The massive ash cloud covering the tiny island nation of Tonga is preventing surveillance flights from New Zealand to assess the extent of damage. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said the eruption was hugely concerning, and agencies were still trying to establish full communications with Tonga. One complicating factor to any international aid effort is that Tonga has so far managed to avoid any outbreaks of COVID-19. Ms. Ardern said New Zealand's military staff were all fully vaccinated and willing to follow any protocols established by Tonga. The immediate concern in Tonga is for air and water safety due to ash and smoke. The government has asked the public to wear masks and use bottled water for now. Tsunami advisories were issued for Hawaii, Alaska, and the U.S. Pacific Coast. Hundreds of thousands of Japanese citizens were also advised to evacuate as waves of more than a meter high hit coastal areas. The U.S. Geological Survey estimated the eruption caused the equivalent of magnitude 5.8 earthquake. Scientists said tsunamis generated by volcanoes rather than earthquakes are relatively rare. According to Christian Headlines, a viral video of an Oklahoma pastor wiping his spit on a man's face as part of a shocking sermon illustration sparked controversy on social media Monday over its appropriateness, not to mention its lack of hygiene. The video shows Michael Todd of Transformation Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, spitting multiple times in his hand before he rubs it across the forehead, cheeks, and eyelids of a man standing on stage. The man was his brother, Brentham Todd. Todd was preaching from Mark chapter 8, where Jesus healed a blind man. The chapter says Jesus had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. The video sparked dozens of news stories, including ones in TMZ and the British newspaper, The Independent. At the moment he wiped spit on the man's face, he was making a point, receiving vision from God might get nasty. Following God, the pastor said, may require selling much-loved possessions. This is where most people would not face Jesus anymore, the pastor said, before wiping the spit on the man's face. The action drew gasps from the audience. What most people would do is turn away. What I'm telling you is just as he's physically standing here, knowing what's coming, God's saying, can you physically and spiritually and emotionally be able to stay in when getting the vision or receiving it might get nasty? The church's Facebook page thanked Brentham for taking part in the illustration. We're so grateful for Pastor Mike's and Brentham's obedience to God, allowing themselves to be used so God's children can clearly receive his word, the Facebook page said, according to the Tulsa World. We pray that as you seek God, he gives you clear vision and you always remember that. Social media users, however, were mostly critical of the illustration. According to Daily Mail, Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker welcomed British terrorist gunman Akram into Beth Israel congregation in Colleyville, Texas, on Sunday, unaware that he was carrying a gun. Akram tapped on the window, then went inside and sat down for tea with Citron Walker before services commenced. It was when the rabbi was leading the congregation in prayer that the 44-year-old British gunman cocked his weapon and took the rabbi and three others as hostages. He was shot dead by SWAT teams after the hostages escaped. In an interview with CBS Mondays on Monday, Rabbi Citron Walker told how he'd welcomed him in without hesitation. "When I took him in, I stayed with him. Making tea was an opportunity for me to talk with him. In that moment, I didn't hear anything suspicious. Some of his story didn't quite add up, so I was a little bit curious, but that's not necessarily an uncommon thing. It was during prayer while we were praying, my back was turned. We face towards Jerusalem when we pray. I heard a click. It could have been anything. It turned out it was his gun," he said. According to Religion News Service, a new effort to preserve historic black churches in the United States has received a $20 million donation that will go to church congregations, including one that was slammed during the tornado that killed more than 20 people in Mayfield, Kentucky last month. Lilly Endowment Incorporated, which supports religious, educational, and charitable causes, contributed the money to the African American Cultural Heritage Action Fund as seed funding for the Preserving Black Churches project, according to the National Trust for Historic Preservation, which launched the fund. The announcement about the donation from the Lilly Endowment was timed to coincide with the Martin Luther King Jr. National Holiday on Monday. Rather than simply replacing broken windows or straightening rafters, the project will provide assistance with things including asset management and helping historic churches tell their own stories, said Brent Leggs, executive director of the fund. St. James AME Church, founded in 1868, just 3 years after the Civil War, and crumpled by the Mayfield Twister, will receive $100,000 as the first recipient of the project's special emergency funding, Leggs said. With its sanctuary virtually destroyed and only 15 or so active members, all of whom are older, St. James AME needs all the help it can get, said the Reverend Ralph Johnson, presiding elder of a church district that includes the congregation. Black churches served a vital role after the war ended, and black people no longer were considered the property of white people. Once the slaves were freed, one of the things they wanted to start was a church home. They wanted to work out their spiritual salvation and have a place to congregate, and they also were used as schools and other things, he said. Black churches have been a key element of the African American community through generations of faith and struggle, and preserving them isn't just a brick-and-mortar issue, but one of civil rights and racial justice, Legg said in an interview. Historically, black churches deserve the same admiration and stewardship as the National Cathedral in Washington or New York's Trinity Church, he said. Trinity, where Alexander Hamilton and other historic figures were buried, was near Ground Zero and became a national touchstone after the terror attacks of September 11, 2001. In all, the project plans to assist more than 50 black churches nationwide over the next 3 years, including some that are vacant or set for demolition or are struggling with inadequate funding, aging members, and dwindling membership. While active congregations are the main priority, funding can also go to old church buildings that now house projects like community centers or treatment programs. Legg said, "It still stewards the legacy of the black church, but for a new purpose." According to CBS New York, Simon Marshall, 61, is charged with second-degree murder after the Saturday morning incident in Manhattan when a woman was killed at the southbound N, Q, R, and W platform at West 42nd Street and Broadway. Police have identified the woman as Michelle Alassa. Michelle Alassa Goh, 40, of Manhattan. The horrifying attack comes as crime in the subway and around the city continues to soar at the beginning of Mayor Eric Adams and Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's first terms. Marshall allegedly shoved Goh onto the tracks as a southbound R train approached the station in a seemingly random attack. Police found the victim lying on the tracks unconscious with trauma to her body. Marshall has a previous criminal record and served 2 years in state prison before being released in August 2021. Sources told DailyMail.com that he has also been arrested at least twice in the past for robbery. Marshall's sister, Josette Simon, was shocked and told the New York Post that her brother has a history of mental illness but had once managed a parking lot and made good money. According to the Daily Mail, woke Los Angeles District Attorney George Gascon is embroiled in yet another scandal after his own cops went over his head to ask federal prosecutors to charge the alleged killers of an off-duty LAPD officer. LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva sought out the federal prosecution for the four gang members accused of killing Officer Fernando Arroyas, 27, on January 10th, over fears pursuing them through Gascon could lead to lighter sentencing. Last year, Gascon axed sentencing enhancements, such as membership of a gang, that would have seen Arroyas's alleged killers potentially jailed for life if convicted. California law stipulates a sentence of 25 years to life without parole, whereas Gascon's reforms would see killers offered parole after completing their sentence. Arroyas was shot dead on his day off by three men and a woman connected to the F-13 gang, it is alleged, and was targeted for the two silver chains he was wearing. The suspects are alleged gang members Luis Alfredo de la Rosa Rios, 29, known as Lil J, Ernesto Cisneros, 22, known as Gonzo, and Jesse Contreras, 34, known as Skinny Jack and Flaco. Rios' girlfriend, 18-year-old Haley Marie Grisham, is considered an associate of the gang. The federal charges they now face come with enhancement, which automatically strengthen a sentence should the person be convicted to life without parole. According to WBUR, the funeral for a New Jersey man on Sunday comes at a most poignant moment for his family, as it coincides with the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend. Rabbi Israel C. Dressner was one of the earliest freedom riders in the 1960s and was close with King. Dressner died Thursday of cancer at the age of 92. Dressner was arrested four times in the early 60s during the time he spent as a freedom rider. He used to leave his home in northern New Jersey, sometimes driving all night long to join the nonviolent protest against segregation in the South. In 1961, he traveled to Tallahassee, Florida, and was arrested and jailed after he and a group of blacks and whites tried to integrate an airport restaurant. He was later the named petitioner in a legal case challenging the arrest that made it to the U.S. Supreme Court. While Dressner was behind bars in 1963, King sent, or rather, while Dressner was behind bars in 1964, King sent him a telegram expressing gratitude for his heroism. "It is your valiant act that touches the conscience of Americans of goodwill," King wrote. "Your example is a judgment and an inspiration to each of us." You can read these stories and more at blackchristiannews.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless your day.